Carl, I know we're going to talk about Leslie Gore on this particular segment. You know, she died the other day. She was a singer, a songwriter, actress, activist, probably best known to our generation, not my generation, our generation, for the hit song It's My Party.
That's correct.
Now, before I moved into journalism as a career path, I was working in radio and television as an announcer and as a show host. I worked as a teenage dance party host on a local television station in upstate New York.
This I did not know. Hidden Roland Smith.
In 1963, Leslie Gore was a hot teenage star, and she was a guest on my dance party show for It's My Party. In my memory of 50-plus years, she was affable, charming, talented, and a delightful guest to be interviewed, and she performed, albeit lip-syncing in those days. We didn't have a band. I mean, nobody had that kind of money in those days.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Leslie died of lung cancer at the age of 68. She didn't smoke.
No, she did not.
According to you, because you knew her and you knew her family very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I toss it to you for reflections and your memories of Leslie Gore.
Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to do, and I would like to do that. Why don't, Kevin, why don't we cue up the song? Let's listen to a minute of a classic, not only in our era, but eras to come. This set the stage. Go ahead. Leslie Gore, that was produced by Quincy Jones. Most people do not know that, who started her off in this business. I met her in the Village, Greenwich Village, when she was 15. Her name was Leslie Goldstein at the Cafe Waha is where I met her with her brother, Michael. And she hadn't released this particular song yet. And through the music end of the business, my brother was in the business for many years, and Quincy Jones and others, we saw something very special in her. She was this bubbly little New Jersey girl, Tenna Fly, born in Brooklyn, by the way. And Leslie Goldstein, she says, just call me Les, she was a character, but a character enamored with the world. That particular night, Peter, Paul, and Mary, who were just beginning their career, were singing at the Café Wa, and the comedian was Flip Wilson. And it was a heck of a show. And Quincy came in later on during the course of the event, and then we realized how they were being hooked up together through a mutual friend of ours, Tony Camillo, Small World, who was producing at the time for Motown, okay? And in those days, it was just about good music, okay? Regardless of the music. Here's Quincy Jones, who had just come from a session with John Coltrane, Miles Davis, and Thelonious Monk, okay, my idols.
Oh, boy.
He comes from that session and winds up with Leslie Gore doing rock and roll. Go figure. But that's the way the world was at the time. She always had a sense during the course of her career. She wrote for Broadway with her brother. They were nominated for an Oscar. He won one for the song. It'll come to me in just a bit. For a emotion picture song, but it was her career, it was the elements of her life that that really worked. And what worked about it was she was a family gal who as her career, she said, as her career moved on, and it did, she was able to find a sense of proportion as what she used to call herself, the elder statesman, But she would go out and still sing It's My Party. Her other hits, they go on and on and on. She's a Fool, You Don't Own Me, which was a feminist song for the time. These particular songs became part of her. And when she would go on the stage, she lit it up, even well into her career. She just enjoyed.
Well, wasn't the feminist song you just referred to, wasn't that part of a political campaign? Wasn't she an activist?
She was. She was a pro-feminist for many, many years.
It had to do with abortion rights, as I recall.
I believe so. I can't remember which one. So I wasn't
in one of the presidential campaigns.
It was one of them. But she had a sense of things. She understood our business. And this is one of the things that you and I have spoken about. She understood about the nature of, by the way, the movie was Fame. It was Fame.
Okay.
It just came to me. And he did win an Oscar for the music in that particular movie. But her brother, Michael, and she was nominated. But the point is that she understood the nature of our business. So she came through it with a very mature sense. And when I met her, she was 15. This song was released when she was 17.
Yeah.
But she had a sense of it when she was around some very heavy hitters in our business. Nothing really fazed her. What she always wanted to do was just go up and sing. And sing just for the sake of singing sometimes.
Well, you know, I don't remember much about her career as in much publicity much after 1970.
No, but she played, well, of course, Fame was released in 1980, and she worked on Broadway, was working on a number of projects.
But behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. Yeah. And she did do some live stand-ups in terms of what I call the one-night stands.
Mm-hmm.
She did them all across the country. She played Vegas. She played that routine. But had an exceptional career in booking these events because everyone wanted to see her. I saw her at a PBS showing at Channel 13. I mean, the place was absolutely packed. There must have been about 1,000 people crammed into this little theater up on 59th Street. And they just wanted to see Leslie because she had that certain something about her that always separates the those that do in our business and those that don't. And she did. But she understood it. She had it all in proportion. I adored her for it. Les saw her. She did an interview in 1994 for NBC. And we went out for drinks, and we were in the Rockefeller Cafe downstairs chit-chatting. And she said, you know, Carl, I've been doing this now since 1962. That's a long time. She was 68 is a young woman.
Now,
she was in her 50s at the time or late 40s, and she didn't look a day over 20. God bless her. But she had a sense. She was going to be meeting with Dick Clark the next day. They were doing something together. And she said, I just love being in this business. I've enjoyed it since I was a child. I just enjoy it. I have fun doing it. She's considered herself very, very lucky. And she was. And she was blessed. She's absolutely blessed. And one of the nicest people you're going to meet in this business.
Well, I met her when she was 1960, had to be 63. When I was doing this dance party
And this is
thing.
We're going to talk about this dance party.
One of these days.
We're going to talk about this.
A lot of admissions are coming out in my elder years or in my summit years, as they say, or December years, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, what I think, Carl, is whenever we pass, whether young or old, I think we only do so when we have finished what we came here to do. Passages, as well as births, are gifts of service that the soul chooses as an expression of love for humanity. And I think that Leslie Gore was quintessential.
Absolutely. I could not have said it better. I remember when, as you know, I was drama critic for the New York Post, and I met Marvin Hamlisch, and I did not know this took place. One of my beats was Broadway.
Uh-huh.
And Marvin, I did not know that she helped launch his career.
Oh, really?
He actually, it was a cousin relationship of another cousin, and he got her his songs that he wrote, and she loved them, okay? Not for her, but she said, you should be doing Broadway. Well, guess what?
Guess what? He's doing Broadway.
God, he did Broadway.
He's been doing it all,
and she helped him to launch that career back in the mid-60s. And the rest is history. No one ever knew that. That's just a quiet sideline of her life. But that was Leslie. And I remember when she met Rosie Clooney. at the Rainbow Grill. She had just played there, but Rosie was playing the next night. And I'm a big Rosemary. I went to both shows, and she was sitting in the front row when Rosemary Clooney. She says, "Now that's a performer. That's the kind of gal she was. God rest her. God bless her. God bless her."
Well, so many of us say everybody's in a better place at some point when we pass from this plane to the next. And hopefully that's true.
Yes. Well, I shall miss her.
Yep. Well, she was your friend.
She was. Call Sabatino for Roland Smith as we move along. And more good things coming up, Roland. We have a show.
We do. And it's interesting that that we're still talking to one another.
We are back.
I'm always amazed.
I love Kevin's hands in the air in the control room. We're back. Stay with us.
America Weekend.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-568-5857, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-568-5857. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-568-5857. That's 800-568-5857.